You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills After Show.
And now you're mine. You can't stop the things I do. I ain't lying.
No! No! Don't listen to him!
Been 300 years.
I'm gonna let the song go.
Now the witch is back. And there's hell to pay. I just came on you.
Okay, hey everybody. Woo! Hey everyone, I'm Ashley Daniels, hosting for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
And I'm Cassidy Gard, and we're hosting
episode 3, Life's a Witch.
Life's a Witch.
So I figured Hocus Pocus, we gotta play the I Put a Spell on You song.
Absolutely.
So, yes, I'm here with Cassidy, and we are very excited about tonight because it focuses on our favorite housewife, Carlton. And, yeah, we're just going to say it. That's our favorite housewife.
Well, you're very good at committing because I have not come around saying she's my favorite yet.
I committed from previews. Previews. I'm like, Team Carlton. Woohoo. I love her. But I just find her so interesting. And I love anybody that can embrace their originality. And she's just so unique. And she's just, like, totally embraces it.
She does one thing that no other housewife can do, which is if something's said that she doesn't like, she doesn't retaliate. She just sits there completely silent and looks at them like they're a complete idiot. And then they get really uncomfortable and start mumbling and trying to retreat or backtrack and say something different. And she just sits there in her presence. So
yeah, we really have to get into her. We'll get into her with the lunch because I definitely want to do like a whole segment of Carlton. But I want to get into first the beginning, the opening.
Brandy.
Yes. So we see Brandy, obviously not the bathroom scene, but the scene where she's sitting down with her boyfriend JR and she breaks up with him. I'm not going to recap that. We already know that she broke up with him.
Do you think it's funny, though, that she, before she goes to break up with him, her whole scene is her in the bathroom shaving her legs? I would only do that if I thought I was going to hook up with someone, not break up with someone.
I think she doesn't put that past herself. I think she knows she's so horny, she just may have sex with him before she breaks up with him.
Very true.
But, you know, you got to be prepared. You never know. But my question is, in general, not so much with this episode, but when do you think it's the right time to break up with somebody? Where is the place that you do it? There's obviously no right time, but in her case, she did mention that she felt there was a chance he would dump her because he went away to Houston, some part of Texas. He went away to Texas and didn't let her know.
Yeah, and he also went on a couples trip and didn't invite her as his other half of his couple. So. Right.
So she jumped the gun and she's like, listen, I'm not going to be dumped, so I'm going to dump him first. And she picks a dinner to do it. Last time I saw something like that was lunch.
The last time
I saw that was Legally Blonde, the movie, when he breaks up with her and she's getting ready to she thinks he's going to propose to her.
Very true.
So what did you think about that? Do you think it was the right place?
I do have to say, I thought she was very thoughtful to suggest that he order a drink so that he can ease the pain with some sort of alcohol. But I think it's kind of weird to drop hints that you're about to dump someone because remember he's like, do I need to have a drink? Is there something you want to soften the blow on? I think Brandy is not the type to have a guy over for a long conversation in her backyard overlooking a sunset talking about how they went separate. I think she saw a lunch was a very easy way to have him out of her home and territory. It's a public place. It's neutral. Nothing can go too wrong. And she took advantage of that. But what do you think?
That's a good point. For me personally, if I'm going to break up with someone, I'm not going to do it via text, but I'm also not going to do it at a dinner because I don't want to be stuck looking at you when I'm getting my entree. It's like, when's the right time to do it? Do you do it at entree? Do you do it at appetizer? And then I got to sit and look at them for the remainder of the 45 minutes.
She did it when her calamari came, which for some reason, her like munching on the calamari while doing it, she's just like putting one by one into her mouth going through the breakup scene. It was kind of awkward. Well, I would feel sick on calamari.
If I was on a TV show, it would obviously be a good pick. you know, to go to a restaurant.
Where do you think she should have dumped him? Just the restaurant?
I don't know. You know, that's why I was asking. I don't know what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. I don't know. The last time I really broke up with somebody, I think I was in, like, sixth grade. So I really don't remember, but I figured.
He didn't seem very sad. He was very kind of just had a wall up. He just looked at her and said, okay, well, I've enjoyed our company. And,
well, she said she used him to get the house. So I think she got what she got and she was done. Remember, she says at the beginning, she says, I used him for what I needed. He's a realtor. He got me the house. And I used him for other things as well. Got sex and a house.
Do you think he used her? Because obviously he probably got a commission. Or do you think that he waived the commission fee for her?
Oh, God. I think he got the commission fee
in the bedroom.
Other ways. Please, you think he cares about the commission fee when he's having fun with her?
I never thought
of
that. Please,
no.
I don't know.
They both got their commission fee. They both got what they needed. And, you know, she was very open about it. So just thought that was interesting how when you decide to break up, when is the right time? Is there a right time? But I would, if I sensed somebody was going to break up with me first, I would definitely break up with them.
I thought it was funny that she refers to him, to her children, as mommy's special realtor friend. Or something along those lines.
I don't know. That's always awkward. I don't even want to get into that. Getting now into something similar regarding the children, I guess. Carlton's nanny. She says she's Tinkerbell on crack. I thought that was hilarious. This woman is so friggin' funny. So she has this beautiful blonde nanny. She looks like she's 20 years old. She's got white teeth, big boobs. She's sexy. She's got a great personality. Mm-hmm. Bringing up another topic now regarding that. Is it okay to have a really hot nanny around your husband?
I think it takes an incredibly stable, confident woman, because I must not be one, because I would not hire a good-looking nanny. I would probably hire someone my mom's age, have like a nice motherly, grandmotherly figure around that would enjoy coming on family vacations. There's no way I'd be hiring anyone in a bikini like
really?
That.
Really?
So
okay.
I must not be a very confident, secure woman, because I would not be hiring that.
No, thank you. I don't think it means you're confident or you're not confident. I think it goes beyond that. I think it's more about how your relationship is, how much trust is involved in your relationship. So it's not so much that you're confident, but it's also, are you realistic too and you're smart? She's obviously very trustworthy. She obviously trusts her husband very much. She also thinks, she wants her sons to be, as she says, around beautiful girls. She wants her sons to see beautiful women and not be having some, like, one of those, those old nannies, the ones that they look decrepit and they have bad breath.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh
those
my
are
gosh.
The best.
Please. I used to have a woman that came to our house when I was younger, and she was kind of like a nanny slash like assistant, like helped my mom out with things, whatever. She just like cleaned once in a while, and she was
so
also
the housekeeper would watch you.
Sometimes. Okay. But she was an alcoholic, and so she was drunk all the time, and she'd be like, do you want to watch Pocahontas? I'm like, I just watched Pocahontas 14 times. Stop asking me. And she was so creepy. So I think it's cool if I had, like, a really pretty nanny. I probably would want her to braid my hair and have fun.
I have a proposition.
What?
Right? How many times has this been brought up? Just, you know, on this show and many other shows, mm-hmm. and life in general, right?
Yeah.
How about a blind view of the resume and you just pick the best candidate? That's it.
Phil, that's a very good suggestion. You would make a very logical husband. You
Full
would
clap.
Just say, honey, let's just look at the resume.
Yeah, but you are awesome. That is so cool. But that,
well, wait, what about a Manny? Would you like a Manny in the house, Phil?
A Manny?
If you want like a hot Manny around your wife.
As long as he was qualified.
Very nice answer.
I like that. I like that.
I like to be the queen bee, so I wouldn't want a bunch of other queens around.
Okay, yes, but... Okay, so I get it. I don't know where I would stand there. It would depend on how I would look after having two kids. If I was, like, disgusting and I felt really gross and fat, then probably not. But if I was back in shape and I was feeling good, she probably would be motivating for me. I'd be like, okay, I want that ass again. I got to go do some more squats, you know? So it's – for me, I don't really know. I don't know where I would be at that stage. But I love that she has her around and she could care less. But she also knows. She's confident, like you said, but she just knows. She's freaking like one in a million. Who is like her in Beverly Hills?
Yeah, good
you're,
point.
You're
going to
find
Absolutely
the nanny everywhere. I'm not saying it's anything about the way she looks, but in general,
what are you saying about blonde?
No.
What are you saying about
Damn
blonde?
It, I knew I was going to pigeonhole myself.
Blonde in LA.
I knew it. No, but it's not blonde. It's more the bubbly, cute. I mean, there's 100 bubbly, cute girls. Who's really that blunt
who's
and
a witch
dark
in Beverly
and
Hills?
Who studies Wicca? She's awesome. He'd be ridiculously stupid if he went off with somebody else. She's so unique.
Good point, yeah.
But absolutely. I'm not saying anything against blondes. Blondes know how to have fun. They have the most fun. And I agree with that, very much so. I'm more like Carlton. You're more like Yolanda. Yolanda. We were saying that earlier.
Absolutely.
So it wouldn't really be a absolutely big thing for you.
No, thank you.
Now, what if... Now, bringing that up, though, if your husband... If you're going to get a Manny and your husband didn't like that the guy was good-looking, would that bother you?
I would hire a gay Manny, so it really wasn't any sort of conflict for my husband. Yeah. Everybody is comfortable. It can be some of them, my friends that are gay, have the most fun energy. They're the most creative. They're dancers. They're breaths of fresh air. They have so much life. They're vivacious. And I think that would be really fun because the guys would have someone to hang out with and then the girls would think they're totally adorable and cute. So,
well, I think the majority of Mannies are probably gay anyway. I would just think, right? Most guys are not going to want to hang out with kids. I mean, unless they have that soft, sweet side to them.
I knew a straight Manny in New York one time. And
I'm sure there are.
He used it to his advantage. He met a lot of ladies at Central Park. So
I know, right?
It worked out for him.
There are those men that do take the kids out that are nannying just so that the girls will hit on them. Like when they take their
job. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's smart. I would do that. All right. So if you want to log on to our iTunes, I would love to know what you think regarding this topic. Do you think it's cool to have a hot nanny if you're a girl? And would you want that nanny around your husband? Or would you feel like there might be a chance that your husband's now getting a wandering eye? Would love to know what you guys think. So if you can tweet me, I'm at Miss Ashley Daniels. And what's your Twitter?
I'm at Cassidy Guard. And we love all the YouTube comments. You guys have been really chatty saying lots of things. And even the ones that are constructive criticism, I think, are awesome because they're making us think about things that wasn't even on our radar.
Yes,
so we appreciate it.
Yes. So, log on to our iTunes, comment us on YouTube, or tweet us. And getting into that, let's go to the biggest part of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was daytime, but the lunch at Carlton's. I would love to be at Carlton's house one day in my life at a lunch. I would be, and you know, I thought about this. This is so weird. I'm so team Carlton. She's probably going to get a restraining order against me now. I literally thought, I'm like, what would I bring Carlton if I was going to go to her house?
What would you
bring her? I would probably, well, okay, so let's just say I had endless amounts of money.
Okay.
I would go to Chrome Hearts and I would get her a really sick, awesome cross, something
What's
cross.
What's Chrome Hearts?
It's a store that sells very gothic, chic, like, sexy jewelry, clothes, sunglasses, accessories, lots of leather. I have a lot of their tank tops. They say fuck you on the back. Sorry. But they do. I'm just saying in terms of, and they're really, yeah. And like I have a hat that just says fuck on it. Like it's really, they're really cool. But I would get her like one of the really sick, awesome crosses that were just like, or they also have like, they have candles and stuff with crosses on them. They have really cool
That's
stuff.
That's creative.
I would get something there. But then if I was just like on my regular, if I just had my regular budget, I would get her roses, and I would want to like get black roses, somehow spray paint them black or something. Because what
can
the
buy them black nowadays? Yeah.
I think that'd be cool. I don't understand why Lisa Vanderpump went with, she was Miss Pinky, Miss Goody Two Shoes. She walks into this gothic place
she was thinking.
With pink flowers. I mean, it was so sweet, but I just thought it was so funny because it's like pink.
Well, their houses are the extreme opposite. We have Lisa with like the white palace and the manicured lawn, and then we have the black castle on the other side of town.
Which house do you prefer?
Oh, Lisa's. I'm a very shabby, chic, traditional girl. I don't know about all the crosses. And talking about her decor, do we want to get into the...
Well, I want to stick with the lunch first.
Well, it's the lunch. It's the part about where they had the...
oh, you mean when they saw her house for the first time?
No, what's that? What do you say? Oh, the confessional room at the lunch.
Oh, my gosh.
Talking about decor.
So for anybody who's Catholic, or probably anybody in general, you know that the confessional, at least in Catholic churches, you go in there and you confess your sins. Carlton has a confessional in her bar. Was it like a bar area?
It's in the bar area. I guess she wants people to get drunk and then go and share all the dirty laundry inside the confessional.
Okay, so obviously as a Catholic, I'm going to say that's not, you know, I don't agree because in terms of, you know, it's, I don't know if it's kind of mocking the whole confession situation. I don't think she is, but I think that people that are like hardcore Catholics might think that that's the case. I don't think it is. I think that when it's outside of the church, it's no longer something that's inside the church. If you're inside the church and you're sitting there and you're in the confessional, like, mocking something,
well, isn't the point that the priest is on the other side? So there's a point into what you're confessing.
Right,
you're
exactly.
You're getting your sins forgiven.
Right. She's just different, though. She's just what she is. But it was really unique. I did not think that she would have that there. And then she had that doll collection. How freaky was that?
I remember when I was a kid, did you guys ever see the Twilight Zone episode where the dolls come to life?
No.
Bill, did you ever see this?
I did not.
Well, I remember seeing this as a kid, and I became very afraid of all my baby dolls. So Carlson has this immense doll collection inside of the china cabinet, and they're all really old school ones from, like, the 50s. They have that, like, kind of the old-fashioned look, but those freak me out. I'm on Kyle's
I gotta see this episode radar with that. I haven't seen it.
The dolls, I'm very, very interested to chat with Carlson when we get that chance and ask her, where does her doll collection love come from in the, you know, confessional room. There's so many aspects of it that I'm just kind of baffled by. What did you think about the dolls?
Okay, I have a huge doll collection, very similar, scary, creepy dolls, like ones that are, some of them are kind of life-size. They're like collectibles, and I had them all over my room. At one point, I had an I Love Lucy themed bedroom, but I had dolls everywhere as well. So they were all staring at me all the time. I Love Lucy. Oh, really? Good. They were all staring at me at one time. And I just felt like this is – so I took them all down. So I they kind of look creepily weird, like
maybe they're
real.
From her childhood and her grandmother gave them to her and they're a very special part
of growing
up. No,
they're beautiful. I mean, my aunt has a huge doll collection in her bedroom upstairs too. So whatever. It's fine. It is. It's interesting though because it's very gothic and then all of a sudden there's dolls. So it's very
unique.
Did
you see – it was a very quick cut, but did you see where the producers and editors of – the show made the doll's heads kind of turn.
No.
Like they did different shots of the doll and then they linked them together so it looked like the doll's heads were turning around.
Oh, that's
I didn't know if – you didn't comment on it, so I think you didn't notice it
I
at the time.
I did notice.
But it was – they were bad.
That's really – I
got to
go back and watch
yeah.
that. That's really cool. So, okay, getting into – so they all get to the lunch. All the girls are going. Yolanda shows up first. The other girls are in the limo. And Brandy –
how hot did Yolanda look, by the
oh
way?
Oh, my gosh. Gorgeous, gorgeous,
black
gorgeous.
Turtleneck, long
stunning.
Blonde hair.
Ooh. Stunning. In the limo, though, did you think that – who brought up the situation with the faint? Brandy brought it up, correct?
Brandy brought it up,
okay.
Yes.
So Brandy brings up that Kyle – that Lisa fainted and she was skeptical if it was a real faint or not. And when they get to the lunch, before the lunch begins, Brandy takes Lisa – or Brandy goes aside with Carlton, Lisa, and Yolanda and goes behind her back and says – all the girls in the limo were talking about you and saying that you fainted on purpose. And Kyle walks over and finds out that she did that. And she's like, are you kidding me? You said it too. And I think that was said – I don't want to know what you think, but I think it was said because Brandy felt guilty immediately when she saw Lisa's face. She felt guilt and she knew, I talked about Lisa. Oh, my God. Let me just get it out in the open immediately before she ends up watching this tape at some point, seeing it, and then it shows up in the reunion and we're no longer friends. Why do you think she brought it up?
Oh, you know, I think that she was being really chatty about it. I think Brandy's one of those people who whoever she's with at that moment is whoever she agrees with. So in the moment
chameleon.
When everyone's sort of pitching in, talking about the feints and being funny, Brandy's all about it. But then whenever it comes to the point where, you know, Lisa's kind of confiding that she got, you know, kicked off the day before and, you know, how she feels about it, then at that moment – Brandy wanted to be kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, we were talking about it earlier and we were all kind of debating. Or that's the thing, though. She didn't say we're all kind of debating. She said there was a debate of whether it was real or fake.
Right.
So Brandy didn't look so good in that scene. It was really evident to the viewers that she was being a two-faced.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not no surprise to me. I was. That's obviously what she does. That's
I
her
think
character.
She does it on purpose. She knows she has to stay on the show. And, I mean, she's very vocal about her money problems before the book came out. And if she's not going to be instigating things and she's not going to be stirring the pot, then there's going to be no reason for
her to
be
there. Oh, no. She was absolutely doing it to be controversial. She did the same thing at the end, which we'll talk about. But she did it twice in this episode, and it was both times not surprising at all.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it is what it is. But I didn't think it was right. And Kyle's obviously upset about that. But prior to that, Kyle is kind of... I don't want to say she's giving any digs, but it kind of felt like I searched and I could not find one positive thing that she said about Carlton's house or anything involved with Carlton. It seemed to be negative, negative, negative. This house is 10 times larger than any other of those women's house, and now Lisa's house as well included.
Right.
Every house, this woman's house is bigger than every house. She's so humble, she literally won't even sit at the head of her own table. Camille Grammer did at her house in Malibu during the party with the psychic. Kyle did. At Carlton's house. Heather Dubrow does it when she's on Real Housewives of Orange County.
Is a whole other story.
They all have their queen chair, and she's like, no, no, no. I feel like it's a little pompous to sit in my chair in the head of the table at my own house. I love that. That is so something I would do. I'd be like, I would want someone else to feel like, I would never want to appear pompous in any way, and I love that about her. But Kyle went and jumped in. She's like, oh, well, then I'll take it then. I thought that was kind of funny.
It's kind of awkward for both of them, though, to say something like, I feel pompous sitting here, but why don't you sit here so you can feel pompous? I mean, anytime anyone's at the head of the table, it's really awkward. You feel like you're leading a conference table and everyone's like, these are your minions in front of you. So it was kind of a little odd to be like.
I don't think so. I have to interrupt. I don't think she was saying someone else can feel pompous. I think she was saying because it's her house.
Yeah.
It's her party. She doesn't want to be like, this is my party, this is my table. I think that's what she was
saying. Well, Kyle seemed very excited to sit there. But yeah, I think it's awkward for anybody to be at the head of the table. So if you're going to feel like that, maybe she should have a round table so it's never an issue.
That's smart. I know. It's interesting you say that. It was like a throne. It was really like a throne.
I mean, it was interesting, though, because Kyle takes on the position of sitting at the head of the table, and then she proceeds to interrogate Carlton.
I know.
Her questions were not coming from an organic place.
No.
It was kind of just like she's firing shots at her. One, two,
well,
three.
She had already done it outside. So outside she had asked her in front of everybody. This got Carlton upset. She said, so you're a witch? So, like, all I know of witches have brooms, and you're a witch, so you study witchcraft? And she's like, no, it's called Wicca. And there's white Wicca, and there's more of a dark side. She's like, I study the white side, which is about Mother Nature and about all peacemaking and good things.
She did say she used to study the dark side.
But she's been doing it since she was 7 years old. She probably was going through puberty when she decided, let's be dark for 5 minutes because this sucks, yeah. You know? I'm going through whatever she was, you know, she's growing up. She's young.
I really wish she would try to explain it more because when you say I'm a witch or witchcraft, it's very confusing. I mean, I'm completely baffled. We're going to be starting our fourth episode, and I have no idea what witchcraft is to her or what Wicca is to her.
Right.
And there's a lot of other people that don't either. And when you don't know what something is, you can either judge it or be scared of it. And I'm kind of just, like, baffled by the whole thing. And I wish she'd use this opportunity to say, this is what I believe, and this is why it's important to me. And then if the girls don't respect it, don't invite them to your house.
Right. Well, I think we'll definitely be able to get those answers if we have Carlton calling in next week.
Woo!
So whatever questions you have for Carlton,
tweet us.
We are definitely tweet Cassidy, let us know, and she's very excited to call in, and we would love to know those answers too. I have a feeling she's probably explained them. I just don't think Bravo has released it. Maybe the way they edited it made her very mysterious still. But I also believe that she's not just going to go and start talking about the Wicca.
Well, maybe she's private about it because she's very protective because she's used to people.
Yeah.
You know, private being, she did say, you know, if you want to get to know me, it's going to take
time.
That's
what I was going to say. So. Exactly. Right. Exactly. She doesn't want to just be answering questions because I'm sure, imagine how aggravating it must be too. Like if you're somebody that does something that other people don't do, you constantly get asked all the time, what's it like? What do you do? What do you do? It's probably like, well, what do you do? What do you study? What do you believe in? Like, who are you? You want to know who I am? Who are you? You know, so it's probably aggravating as hell to her. And plus, we know that she's making a little bit. They're kind of laughing at it a little bit because, you know,
they're mocking
no matter how little you know about Wicca, you do know that she's not flying on a goddamn broom every night. We know that. So why even say it? Just start to be condescending. It's stupid, you know, be sarcastic.
She could be, you know, they could all be. I mean, the joke that, what is this, like Harry Potter's house? Because there's the balls.
Yeah.
The balls. There's these balls all over the yard.
Right.
They're called, what are the balls called?
I don't know, but they trap negativity and they hold it in. They take it away from the crystal balls, right? The mat, whatever they are. They're upstairs too, I saw.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah. I don't know. We have another thing in common because I have a black cat too, Carlton. I'm just saying. Just saying. But she's
there
at
you
home.
Go.
I do, but he's at home back in Boston. But okay, so we have the issue with Brandy, she obviously did that. Kyle's kind of digging left and right, but then it looks like once they get down and they're having lunch, someone gets the final laugh, and of course, once again, that's Brandy. She brings up something that she knows will piss Kyle off. What did you think of the situation when she brings up Mauricio and the rumors?
So they're in the middle of this lunch for people that might have not caught everything. They're in the middle of lunch, and Brandy uses this opportunity to basically yell across the lunch table because she's on one side, and obviously Kyle's at the head. Something along the lines of what's going on with all these Mauricio cheating allegations. And Kyle looks like she was punched in the face. Her whole demeanor changed. She was just kind of like flabbergasted that this is something she was having to address at lunch with some of her girlfriends. I think, once again, Brandy knows how to stay on the show. Brandy's not getting fired anytime soon because Brandy's keeping it interesting. Brandy, though, is it's kind of hard to watch because I think she's coming from a really fake place because she's relating it all back to her circumstance of Eddie Cibrian cheating on her, getting with Leanne Rimes, because she said, you know, I'm only asking you because I don't want your children to see anything in the tabloids because that's what happened with my kids when Eddie was on the cover with Leanne, and it seemed fake to me.
Okay. I'm gonna disagree with you on this. Just not disagree. I'm gonna give you another side to think of it as well. So, if that was my kid, if I had a situation like that, I don't know if I would forever be blinded and kind of jaded in terms of any relationship. If I were hurt that badly, publicized, having that all be in the public eye, my entire divorce and being cheated on, I probably would hate every person with a penis for the rest of my life. And I would literally look at them like the way she does, like an object, like a sex object, because she doesn't want to let her heart open again and let these people, she doesn't want to actually love again because she's probably very afraid to get hurt again. Nothing worse can happen to you in terms of love than what happened to her.
The only thing is that if she wants to instigate something and she wants to keep things interesting, you know what would have been just as interesting is if she had pulled Kyle aside, taken her in the restroom, and they could have shot a whole separate scene where it was just the two of them, not in front of everybody. I mean, I would be humiliated.
Right, but would that be interesting and entertaining?
Well, I think if it really was coming from a place that she cared,
right,
then she would do it in a private place. And there's plenty of scenes that are shot in bathrooms at huge right. mansions. I mean, there's a way to get it on camera.
Yeah.
Where it's not in front of everybody.
I think this is her biggest issue, though. She doesn't think anything very thoroughly. She doesn't think it through too much because clearly with the Lisa issue, she regretted it the minute she talked about Lisa fake fainting. She regretted that limo conversation immediately when she saw Lisa at Carlton's. So I think she doesn't think before she talks. I don't think she has a filter, and I think she has to deal with the consequences a lot. She talked about last year Kim Richards saying Kim does crystal meth.
That's horrible. I just think she's going to alienate herself from everybody.
She's not because Lisa and Yolanda see a different side of her because she shows them a different side than she shows these other girls.
But I think the fact that she doesn't think before she speaks and she constantly stepping over her words, at some point she'll do it to Yolanda.
Oh, yeah. It's going to have to happen. Yeah. I think it's obviously they're going to be last on the list. I don't know if she gets herself that close to them. It seems like she just sees them at gatherings and this and that. And Lisa has a different side that kind of opens up when she's around Brandy. It's kind of like it gets her kid, childlike sense of humor out. She gets to swear. And I think, did she not call her a CU? Next Tuesday, mm-hmm. Brandy called Lisa that tonight.
Yeah,
something like that. She called her, and she's and Lisa doesn't really get upset when she calls her names. And she goes, "Well, I liked it when you used to call everybody an effing whatever."
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of refreshing for Lisa, kind of like Carlton's refreshing for us. For Lisa, everybody's so dignified and so conservative, and then she's got this girl that's so
Brandy's
like.
Brandy's fun when it's about things like that, but Kyle's. You know, when something like that happens. I think no matter who you are, if there are rumors, no matter what, there is a part of you that is going to take a second to think, well, could this be true? Why is this all coming out? You know, the comment Yolanda says, where there's smoke, there's fire. So if Kyle really didn't think that all this was fake and she trusted Mauricio so immensely, I don't know why she's sobbing in her testimonial or
the confessionals.
And then, you know, they saw a little preview of Mauricio and he's just like, well, give them all lie detector test. Maybe he's getting defensive, but where is this all coming from?
I think the confessional, her crying in the confessional, was from when Lisa brought it up in front of the baby, her daughter. What's her name?
Yeah, that could be true. For Portia.
For Portia, when Lisa went to her house and brought it up right in front of Portia.
I mean, I think Kyle's whole storyline for the past couple seasons, though, has just been about her fairy tale perfect life with Mauricio. And now if that's what her identity is, it's being completely...
Yeah. I mean, you definitely could look at it like that. You can also look at it like she just loves him so much, which is how I think that she just loves him so much that they really do have an amazing relationship, that it really aggravates her that you're picking on the one thing that's actually 100% honest and beautiful and true in her life, and like these people are trying to bring it down, and that's a scary thought because these girls have the potential, they have the ability to bring people down, and it's probably scary to think about all these people. Like, Lisa clearly called Brandy and told Brandy that she did go to her lunch. She went to Kyle's house and talked and said that, and Kyle got upset.
This was shot, I would say, April, May, June of last year. So during all of that time period, I never heard any rumors, saw anything in tabloids about Mauricio. I find it odd that all of a sudden when this is airing, there's whole storylines about this. Because right. to me, it could be really just something point. That Bravo is manufacturing. But I feel as if that'd be really, really cruel. I do not want to believe that Andy Cohen would approve of that.
No, yeah. I don't know. You know, that's a really good point that you make. But, you know, they all have their weak points. We don't know Joyce's yet. We know Carlton's is just got to be genuine. And if you're any BS and you're trying to be any type of ingenuine person to her, she's just going to be gone with you.
Do you think Joyce signed some sort of contract that she would talk about her husband's penis in every single episode?
I don't know, but apparently not only is her husband's penis big, but Carlton says, my husband's hung like a
donkey.
Like an effing donkey, but you don't hear me talking about it. So clearly all of their husbands have big penises. I just did the Real Housewives of Miami reunion part two.
Right.
And Joanna and Adriana have a huge fight because she's saying that Adriana said that her Roman's penis is small, and she said, no, his penis is huge. So all these penis issues, who cares? We're not having sex with them, so what does it matter to us? Let them have their fun. Let them do what they got to do. I don't want to know about anything that has to do with that. And all of obviously, Joyce is very vocal about her husband and all of that. But you mentioned something about Joyce with the something. Did she come up with something with a eating thing?
Oh, I actually read an article because Carlton and Joyce did a article with Entertainment Tonight, and it was sort of about their storylines, how they got on the show, and she said the one thing that bugged her the most was her tagline, which is, you can never be too young, rich, or skinny. And she kind of alluded to the fact that living in pageant worlds and being around this whole scene of dresses and figures, that things like eating disorders hit really close to home, and that she didn't like that Bravo said you can never be too skinny. And she begged them and begged them and begged them to take that out of the tagline because she didn't believe that. And they just refused. So that was something that we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to clear that up because I wonder if they're allowed to mention to create their own taglines or if they're told what to say.
Apparently, Bravo comes up with them. You film a couple different ones. And then I think when they're linking it all together, they see what sounds best. And that was the one that got chosen for her. And she hated it, and they wouldn't change it.
That's interesting. I actually did not like that too. I have a close family member who has suffered her whole life with an eating disorder. So something like that really bugs me in a lot of ways, more ways than one, because that's something that's showing little kids still. I mean, we're trying to fight against all that, and I don't want to get into a big topic on eating disorders, but that's just so uncalled for. She's already so friggin' thin, so why do you have to talk about that? They have great bodies. Less is more. You don't need to say that.
You know, it could have just been, they should have said something like, you can never be too fit or something healthy. I think that you can never be too skinny is really insensitive on Bravo's part.
Yeah, I agree. But there's just so much in this episode. I'm just so excited to see the continuation of this, especially with Kyle and where she's going to go with this, if she's going to actually confront Brandy and if she's just going to, you know, get extremely aggravated and just alienate herself from all of them. I have no idea. So I'd like to get in some predictions with you.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I see Brandy bringing up Eddie and Leanne a lot and relating it to Kyle. I think it's going to be a way for her to replug her book, keep on talking about the scandal that did land her on the New York Times bestseller, and try to get it to stay on the New York Times bestseller.
What's it called again? Tweeting?
Tweeting?
Effing. Tweeting and drinking or something? tweeting. I don't know what it is.
Have you read her Twitter? Her Twitter sounds like an insane person.
I follow
person.
Her,
it's
but
nothing
I actually
but
don't
typos
read it.
And retweets, and she goes crazy. She tweeted Leanne Rimes, I'm going to bed now, or, you know, good
she
night.
She probably did that ever since her book came out. But
yeah, she's just keeping it up. So yeah. What are your predictions?
So your predictions really that...
Yeah, I'm just starting to see the wheels turning in Brandy's mind. And I mean, I'm loving every second of it. She's entertaining to watch, but...
She is. It's definitely amped up now. So I don't really miss Faye anymore as much as I did. For me, I'm going to say that Carlton is going to... She's going to get really annoyed. And she's actually going to confront Kyle, I think, about Kyle's little... I don't think Kyle even knows she's doing it, but I think it's going to hit ahead and she's going to take Kyle aside and say, listen, this is not how I roll. If you're going to come to my house, you know, you're not going to talk about me behind my back. And, you know, don't ask me questions in front of people. Get to know me. I think she's really going to have that talk with her. I think Lisa is going to get in an argument with Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was waiting for something to come up. I think Lisa really wants to get aggravated with Kyle. And she was hoping that something like what Brandy told her would come up. So I definitely foresee a lot of drama. I don't know about Joyce. I'm still confused. We don't know much about her.
You know, Carlton, I saw this thing that Lydia from, this is Real Housewives of Orange County. Lydia did one season and then she's done. She's not going to do another. I can kind of see Carlton doing that. Carlton seems like she's kind of doing the motions, but she doesn't seem to get really that invested in the woman. She says her comments and she moves on. I don't see her picking fights. I mean, maybe this is something that's going to be totally proven wrong, but she just, she said she, before, that she never watched that she never watched reality TV.
Who said this?
Carlton in the interview she did with Joyce for Entertainment Tonight said she never watched reality TV. It wasn't something she was a fan of.
I believe
of.
That too. Because Joyce watched every episode prior.
Exactly,
she
but
said she did.
Carlton, well, that's a good point. I think this might be her one and golden season.
Well, we'll find out. So, yeah, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next Monday, and we'll have Carlton on the phone to answer your questions. So comment and let us know what you want to hear. Bye.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.